Father's Day. And also, I've got to say Happy Mother's Day to my wife. She's not here. Hopefully, she's watching. She's got some things that she's got to do. But, honey, I love you. To my mother, I know she's watching. I love you, Ma. There's a love that I just didn't understand, that I didn't get. And seeing a mother's love has helped me to understand God's love so much, because there's so many things that mothers put into their children. There's so much love that mothers have for their children. It's a love that I can see but can't explain. I have a love for my child, but my wife has this thing where she doesn't even necessarily trust me with the child all the time. But it's a love that will go far and beyond even the things that she thinks that she can do. And she will do whatever it is that she can do for her child. So when you look at your mother, think about God. And think about the love that God has for you. And think about the lengths that he's willing to go just to save you. All because he loves you. Having said that, let's get into our text. And if we could open our Bibles yet again to the book of Luke, chapter 6, and I'll read again verses 46 through 49. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The title of our sermon this morning is Dig Deeper. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for the love that you've given us. Lord, now we look to you to hear from your word. I'm asking, oh Lord, that you would fill me and use me, so that your words are the ones that reach the people, Lord. I take a back seat. It's your time. Holy Spirit, descend upon us now and connect us to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a pretty simple story. Very simple concept in the parable. God says, Jesus says specifically, there are some guys who built a house. One guy built his house on the rock. We all know the song. Other guy built his house on the sand. The house tumbled. But when I was going over the text and studying it, I didn't realize that it started with this question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? When I first read it, I thought, oh, that's fine. I don't have to worry about it. Because I'm a Christian. And more specifically, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. So if there's anybody that's doing God's word, that's me. If there's anybody that's following me, what God said to do, it's me. I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. I got to be following God, right? I got to be doing what God says. But when I started really studying the text and digging a little bit deeper into the text, and you see who Jesus is talking to when he says this, it puts a little fear inside of you. And it makes you wonder, am I really doing what Jesus has asked me to do? You see, when you go back into chapter 6, and you go back to the beginning of chapter 6, and you follow along and get about around to the middle, Jesus has been dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other teachers of the law. And he decides to take a break, and he goes up to a mountain. And on the mountain, he begins to pray, and he prays all night long. So while he's up there kneeling, praying, his disciples decide to come up to the mountain and see him. And And when Jesus sees the disciples, there's not 12 at this point, there's a lot of them. He decides at this moment, okay, I'm going to pick out my 12, my specific disciples that will follow me from this point on. So he goes and he picks out specifically his 12 disciples. Everyone's happy. They descend down from the mountain. Not only Jesus, not only the 12, but all the disciples. They're still with him at this point. And when they get to the bottom, they look out and they see that an even greater crowd of disciples have followed Jesus to this unnamed mountain. But not only more disciples have shown up, now the Bible says a multitude of sick and diseased and people dealing with evil spirits have come to this mountain to see Jesus, to listen to his teachings, to be healed by his power. And so the scripture says that while Jesus is standing there, his power literally goes out and heals everyone in the crowd. And this is where Jesus starts his discourse. This thing that Jesus is saying, when you go back again, further back in chapter 6, what you realize in Luke is, this is the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is giving. In Luke, they shortened it and they call it the Sermon on the Plain, just because it's a little bit more streamlined. But it's the same sermon. So Jesus is now preaching and teaching to people that he's healed. He's preaching and teaching people that he saved. He's preaching and teaching people that are willing to follow him wherever he goes. They followed him to some random mountain. And they waited for him all night to come down. They're loyal. But it's to these people that Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" When you go to the book of Matthew, and you actually go to the more extended Sermon on the Mount, you see that Jesus actually delves a little bit deeper into this concept of calling him Lord, Lord. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and I'll read down to verse 23, this is what it says. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Now, man, it's something, because when I go through that list, it seems like there are some good things that are coming out, right? I mean, the people say, "Lord, we were prophesying in your name." In other words, "Lord, we were preaching your name. Lord, we were doing miracles. We were doing mighty works in your name." When I go down that list, I only see good things. It seems like the things that the people were doing were things that God would want them to do. It seems like they're doing what God taught. But what Jesus is trying to tell the people is, you're missing the point. Because even though you go and do these things, even though you're preaching in my name and prophesying in my name and doing these miracles, your heart isn't right. So all the things that you've done, this list of things that you've given me, that you've done, to me are worthless. Because you haven't done them from your heart. When you go to Luke, just before Jesus goes into this parable, he says, "You'll know people by their fruits. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. No matter how good the fruit looks, if the tree is bad, the fruit is bad. If you're prophesying and preaching, but you are still a terrible person, your prophesying and preaching are still bad. You can mention my name, but because your character is not right, what you're saying means nothing." When Jesus says, "Why aren't you doing what I ask?" In the Greek, the word "do" is not simply mean carrying out an action. In Greek, that word "do" in this specific instance means Are you carrying out an obligation from a moral standpoint? In order for you to carry out something morally, your morals have to be correct. Your character has to be right. So if you're going to do the things that God says to do in terms of the great things, like preaching, like healing people, like doing miracles, God says that your character is the thing that has to be in line. And in order for your character to get right, there's some work that you've got to do. What Jesus is trying to say is, in order for you to truly follow me, you've got to do some work. You've got to build a house. Everything else is lip service. How many of us are simply following Jesus in lip service? You see, it's not enough to come to church every Sabbath. That's wonderful. That's great. Good job. But if you're in your homes and you're not allowing God to change your heart, if you're still unforgiving, if you can't look on people with love, what are you doing? You see, when you go through the Sermon on the Plain, which again is the shortened version of the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see the things that Jesus says is, love your enemies. Pray for those that curse you. When someone takes your coat, give them your shirt. When someone does wrong to you, do right to them. Even sinners do right to the people that they love. How hard is it then to love the person that has done you wrong? It's work. Jesus is trying to reach down to the heart, to the character, because that is the thing that needs to be built up. That is the thing that needs to change in order for you to be saved. When you go through the parable and you see what happens, you have these two guys that are building a house. The problem is a flood is coming to knock the house down. In order for the house to stand, there has to be proper work done to make sure that it stands. You see, if you're going to follow God, if you're going to do what he says, you've got to do the work to change your character. And so this parable is describing what the work looks like. Now, when we go through the parable, again, it's simple to read, it's simple to see, but you've got to understand what it meant in the first century. You see, when we think about building a house today, it's a totally different concept. It's a totally different process. First of all, I mean, you guys don't even build houses. Let's be real. You're not going to go to a place and you're not going to actually physically put the bricks up. You're not going to put the wall up. You barely paint your own house. You're not building your own house. Now, let's say you had the money to get your house built. Somebody else is going to do it for you. All you're doing is picking out where you want the sink to go, how you want the tub to look, you want the tiles over here and the window there, and you're not doing anything. In the first century, it's a totally different story. You see, especially if you were poor, you had to build a house all by yourself. Now, the perfect time to build a house, oddly enough, was the summertime. At first, that sounds like a good idea because it's warm outside. But the problem is, it's not just warm. The heat is scorching. And when you're building your own house, making your own bricks, stacking them bit by bit, and having to dig in the ground, you're going to get tired. You're going to get worn out. It's brutal trying to build your own house. The thing about building your house is, again, you have to build the foundation first. So that means you have to go and get your shovel, whatever it is that you use, and start digging into the ground until you can get down to some rock. The problem is the ground is like metal because it's so hot, it's so dry, there's no rain. So here you are in the hot sun doing your best to dig deep, conditions are against you. The world is against you. When it comes to building your character, when it comes to trying to get closer to Christ, who is the rock, the conditions in this world are totally against you. There's no breaks for you. There's no water for you to have. Your strength is being zapped as you're trying to dig down deeper to get to Christ. When Jesus says things like, you've got to forgive your enemies, it's kind of hard because you've got to deal with those people that you have to forgive every single day at work. Not only those people that you've got to forgive, but you've got people that you've never even seen that you've got to forgive. Think about it. You've got people that are murdering people every day. There are some people in this world that hate you because of the color of your skin. And they will do things to you that will physically and mentally torture you until you have fallen down and passed out. And some of those things are protected by the law. In this world, Jesus says, keep digging. When you're going through financial struggles and you're going through hurts and pains and people are spitting in your face telling you that it's your fault, Jesus says, I've got to forgive those people. Jesus says, regardless of the situation, I've got to dig deep. Your health is failing. Your family is falling apart. But Jesus says, I know the conditions, but I need for you to still keep digging. You've got to trust me. You've got to believe in me. Even though the world is showing you that there's nothing that you can do, even the world is zapping the strength from you while you're trying to get closer to build your foundation on me, you have to keep digging. See, the foundation of a house or of any building, it's the most important thing that you can do when you're building a home, because that is how your structure stays stable. You have to dig down deep to the rock, because rock is the most stable thing that we have that is naturally on this earth. You see, what happens when you build a house, even in this time, the world continues to shift. The world, the earth around your home will continue to move. And if your home is not built on a solid foundation like rock, your home will also move. So what Jesus is saying is, my teachings, treating people right, treating people with love, treating people with respect, trusting in me when times get rough, that is you digging to get down deeper to me, because I am the rock. I am the stable foundation. I am the one that's going to keep you going in this world. So that way, when the world shifts around you, when things around you seem to get tough, when things around you seem like they're going to move you out of position, I will keep you stable. I am the rock, the ever-present, ever-loving, all-powerful, never-leaving God. I'm going to stand here for you. And if you would build your foundation on me, you won't move either. You see, the part of the problem with us doing the work to dig deep is for some reason we think that God has promised us that things won't get tough. We think that God has promised us that this world is somehow going to open up, and when he's healed us and he's saved us and he's made us new, there's no more work that I have to do. I can just make it and God's going to bless me and give me the desires of my heart. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that this world is against you, that the devil that lives in this world is like a lion seeking who he may devour, and he's going to try to take you out. And if your foundation is not on me, the rock, you will fall. You see, the difference between the man who builds his house on the rock and the man who builds his house on the ground or on the sand, like it says in Matthew, it's not the materials of the building. It's not the size of the building. It's not even the ground that the building sits on or sits in. Regardless of if it's dirt or sand or whatever, the difference is the digging to get down to the foundation.
You see, even though the summertime was the worst time, it would seem, to build a house, for the first century people, it was actually the best time. You see, when they were digging and building houses, they were doing so on plains and valleys. So it's at a low point on the ground. When the winter would come, so would the rain. Now, you think, oh, that's great, because when the rain comes, the ground gets softer, but the ground turns into mud. It turns into the consistency of chocolate pudding. So it might be easier to dig at this point, but the problem is the mud is going to continue to fall down and cover that foundation that you're trying to build. At this point in time is when floods come. So when you're building, and you're building in the winter, the area that you're trying to build stays flooded. Now, here's the problem with building your house without having foundation on the rock. The house can look great. It can have all the rooms, all the fixings that you think that you need. But you see, the problem is when you build on top of the ground, when your foundation is not deep, and it sits on a surface that you think is going to stand, when the flood comes in the winter, your house is going to be taken apart from the foundation. You see, the rocks are sitting in something that is turning into mud. So as the mud begins to form, because your foundation is not on something that's stable, the rocks begin to fall apart from the bottom up. The house falls apart. Jesus says that the fall of the house is great because now, because the structure is gone, the entire house falls on itself. You see, there's a season for building, and there's a season for living. The waters and the flood that Jesus is talking about, it's not just hard times. It's not hard times that come up in life. What Jesus is talking about is the judgment. When it's time for judgment, you can't keep building anymore. When it's time for Jesus to call you out on what it is that you've been doing this entire time, the things that you've been doing externally are not the things that are going to help you stand when Jesus calls your name. Just because you came to church every week, it doesn't mean that Jesus is going to save you in the end. Just because you paid your tithes on time every month, it does not mean that Jesus is going to save you in the end. What matters is the fact that you've put your character on His character. The fact that you have decided to put yourself on the blood of Christ, on the righteousness of Christ, and stand on Him, that's how you make it through the end. But if you put your foundation on falsehood, on lies, if you put your foundation on believing that you can treat people however you want because God has saved you, when you build your foundation on thinking that because you've somehow outwardly kept this law that we keep talking about, because you've outwardly kept these principles and doctrines that we teach in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because you gave to the poor and you helped your brother and sister out, even though you talked behind them, behind their back, you gossiped about them when they weren't looking, when it came to coming to church, you judged the folk that were sitting next to you, you looked down on people, regardless of all those things, if you build your house thinking that when you do that, you'll stand, you're going to be sadly mistaken when the judgment comes. Because you did not build your foundation on Christ, your house will fall. And Jesus says, great will be the fall of that house. In order to make it to the end, you got to dig deep. You got to work at this thing. Man, I know it's hard. When I was looking at this, and I was going through that Sermon on the Mount, seeing the things that Jesus was saying, my goodness. I've got to love people that curse me? You see, it's one thing when you want to pray for someone that you think is against you, but you're not 100% sure. No, Jesus is saying to the one that curses you to your face, pray for them. When someone does wrong to you, do good to them. What kind of sense does that make? It's a hard thing to do. And I don't know about y'all, but my goodness, I'm tired. Let's be real, I'm tired. I get tired of doing right all the time. I get tired of having to say, I forgive you. I get tired of feeling like I'm walked on. I get tired of feeling like I can't stand up for myself. I get tired of having to take punishment and take punishment until I can't take it anymore. I'm tired, I'm weak, and I don't think I can do it anymore. But you see, when I get to that point, I remember that there's a text in Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's, in the Bible, it says that if I hope in God, if I would but wait on the Lord, then he will renew my strength, that I'll rise up on eagle's wings and soar. I'll run. I won't get weary. I'll walk. I won't get tired. You see, because I'm digging deep and putting my foundation on the rock, I will not be moved. Because the rock is what is giving me strength. The rock is what is keeping me stable. So when I'm going through life and I'm going through the world and I'm feeling pushed down by the devil and I'm feeling pushed down by my enemies and I get tired, all I have to do is look at Christ and see what it is that he did for me. You see, Christ was spit on. Christ was mocked. Christ was stabbed. Christ was beaten. Christ was killed. But when he got on that cross, he said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he stayed on that cross and died for his enemies. If you remember what the Bible says that even while we were enemies of Christ, he still died for us. He still saved us. So if God has the power to be killed by humanity and still die for them to save them, maybe he can give me a little bit of that strength so I can keep on pushing, so I can keep on going, so I can keep on digging deep, so that way my foundation will be sure, so I can stand on the solid rock and not move and not be shaken by the problems of this world. So when Satan pushes you down, keep digging. When you feel your enemies breathing down your neck, keep digging. When you feel like you can't push forward anymore because the pressure is getting too great, keep digging. You're getting closer to the rock. Don't give up. And if you feel weak, God will inject you with his power, with his love, with his righteousness, with his energy. And with that, you'll be able to continue to dig deep. My appeal today is for those of us that are tired. Those of us that are getting put through the ringer. Like I said, the conditions of this world are against us when it comes to digging. But the Bible tells me that my Father is not of this world. So there's a power that you can get that exceeds the darkness that is around you, that exceeds the powers that are in this world, that will not give me the power to preach or teach or do great things. It'll give me the power to forgive, the power to love my enemies, the power to show this world through me that there is a God that loves me. You see, the thing about that house that is built, everyone can see it. Based on your foundation is how high or how wide you can build a house. So you might go around and see houses that look pretty. You might go around and see houses that just look so, man, together. But depending on how high the building is how you can know how deep the foundation goes. The house that we're building is not a house that should look like us. It's a house that should reach all the way to heaven. A house that should reach to the throne of God. Because the house that we want people to see isn't our house. It's the house that Christ has built for us. So, I want to pray for you, and I would ask everyone to stand. I don't want to single anybody out. Because like I said, I just stood up here and told you that I get tired. Fact is, we're all in this together. We're in this Christian walk together. I'm still building my foundation, and so are you. I'm still working on things. I'm still working on me, and so are you. But our hope is not in me. Our hope is not in each other. Our hope is in Christ. Now that I've got you standing, I want you to hold hands. Now look at this. It's interesting when you see people so spread apart and so far from each other, because you can see all the holes and all the things that are wrong. But when you bring it together, you can see the strength. If you remember what the Bible says about the church is the body of Christ. Just by you holding hands and seeing that strength, can you see a rock? Can you see stability? Can you feel that strength? That's Jesus. That's his body. And now that you've joined to it, draw strength from it. Let's pray. Lord, we always thank you for your blessings. We always thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for saving us, dear God. But Lord, in reading your word, we recognize there are things about us that need work. There are things about us that just aren't right, Lord. And sometimes we get so tired of trying to build our foundation of you. And we just want to build our foundation, Lord, on the ground where we see it, where it's easy. But Lord, that's not what you've asked us to do. You've asked us to take another step, to continue to dig deeper, so that we can treat each other right, so that we can show others in this world the love that you have for us. We're joining hands, O Lord, just as a symbol to be reminded of the strength that comes through building solid foundations, the strength that comes from loving each other the way that you asked us to, the strength that comes from being the body of Christ. Lord, rejuvenate us. Give us strength. Give us that power that you promised us, Lord. We're tired, and we need to keep going. But because you've asked us to, we know that through you, it can be done. Forgive us, God, for the mistakes that we've made. Forgive us, God, for being unforgiving. Forgive us, O Lord, for only praying for those that we love. Forgive us for not praying for those that hate us. Lord, we're deciding right now to build our foundation on you. From this moment, Lord, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep digging. And we're going to keep building until the world can see you. Be with us, God, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's time for offering and tithe. Tithing is a reminder that God is the supplier of everything we have. It is also God's personal invitation to experience an outpouring of his blessings in each of our lives. A Seventh-day Adventist elder gave the following testimony. Promises are meant to be kept. It is easy, though, to break them. But we always can depend on God to keep his promises. Early in our ministry, they said, my wife and I faced a big test. We had to choose whether we would return our tithe and give an offering or pay our mortgage. There wasn't enough.